All right, well, those of you that are here for the first time may not know, but I teach through books of the Bible, verse after verse, and today we're in John chapter 5, verse 22. John 5, 22, and the title of the message is, It's Good to Know the Judge. Now, the context of this, in the first part of the chapter, Jesus goes to the pool of Bethesda, and he heals the lame man. He picks up his mat, and he starts walking, and the Jewish leaders get all upset because he's carrying his bed on the Sabbath day. And so they begin to attack Jesus, and they're mad at Jesus because by what he said, he made himself equal to God. And then in the verses that we're going to look at today, he describes to these people, yes, I am equal to God, and not only that, I have more authority than you can imagine. So we're going to be talking about that. And two things we'll talk about today, life and judgment. I heard a funny story about a lady who said she was in an ice cream shop in Connecticut. And she was there getting her ice cream cone when in through the door walks none other than the Hollywood movie star, Paul Newman. And she looked at him and made sure it was him. And she was saying, I try not to get flustered, but as he stood there reading the different flavors, I couldn't help but just drown in his deep blue eyes. And so she got her ice cream, she got her change. And as she was walking out, she said hello to Paul Newman. And Paul Newman said, hi. And then she went outside the front door of the ice cream shop. And then when she got out there, she realized she'd forgotten her ice cream. So she goes back in. And as she walked into the shop, Paul Newman said, if you're looking for your ice cream cone, you put it in your purse with your change. Now, if you think seeing a celebrity kind of makes you a little flustered or upset, can you imagine what it's going to be like when each one of us stand before the Lord Jesus Christ in judgment? Because the Bible says that all of us are going to die, and after that, we'll face judgment. In fact, it says this in Hebrews 9:27, just as man and woman, humanity, is destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. The absolute bottom line truth is that we all are going to die. I always remember the story of the preacher one time that was trying to emphasize that fact in his church. He said, every member of this church is going to die. And there was a little kid on the front pew who kind of smiled real big when he said that, and the pastor didn't like it. So he just said it even louder and more forceful. I say every member of this church is going to die. And the little boy started laughing. And the pastor said, son, what's so funny about that? He smiled and said, I'm not a member of this church. Well, whether you're a member of this church or any church or no church, we're all going to face death and judgment. So that's why in this passage of Scripture, Jesus is going to address two important subjects, life and death, and judgment and the judge. Are you ready to read about it? John chapter 5, verse 22. You're welcome to stand with me as we read this portion of the Word of God. The words are also on the screens. Jesus is talking here, and he says, the Father, in fact, judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son. Now, notice how many times the word judgment and life appears. So that all people may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Anyone who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly I tell you, you remember I told you anytime Jesus uses those words, it's amen, amen. He's about to say something particularly profound. Anyone who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and will not come under judgment, but is passed, past tense, from death to life. Truly I tell you, there it is again, amen, amen. Pay close attention. An hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, so also he has granted to the Son to have life in himself. And he has granted him the right to pass judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this because he's about to say something that's absolutely amazing. Because a time is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good things to the resurrection of life, but those who have done wicked things to the resurrection of condemnation. I can do nothing on my own. Jesus said, I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll bless the reading of your word, and that today you'll open our ears to hear not what I'm saying, but what the Holy Spirit is saying to each person here. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, be seated. You know, Jesus made some pretty amazing claims. And as you've heard said before, he claimed to be equal with the Father. He claimed to be God. And so these claims are so amazing that the only options are he was either a liar. I mean, he said he was God and knew he wasn't. That makes him a liar. Or he was a lunatic. He really thought he was God, but you know, he was a little bit loose with the marbles, a lunatic. The only other option is either he was a liar, or he was a lunatic, or he is who he said he was, the Lord. Now, in this passage, just 10 verses, we find the word life 6 times. We find the word judge or judgment 6 times in 10 short verses. And so that's what we're going to talk about. First, talk about life and death. Then we're going to talk about what Jesus has to say about judgment. You ready? Here we go. Point number one, Jesus offers life to anyone who trusts him. Now, this is one of the key verses in all of the New Testament. John 5:24 to me is like another version of John 3:16. Listen to what Jesus said. Truly, I tell you, that's the amen, amen, anyone who hears my word and believes him who has sent me has, look at the tense, already, present tense, you already have eternal life. And here's the future tense, you will not come under judgment, but has, past tense, passed from death, and the word there means spiritual death, thanatos, to life. You say, wait a minute, Pastor, I thought you said everybody was going to be judged, and right there Jesus said, if you believe in me, you won't come under judgment. Well, by saying you come under judgment, he's saying you won't come under the condemnation of judgment. But as we're all going to see, all of us are going to have to face the judge, and I'm here to tell you, the judge we will face is not Judge Judy. The judge we're going to face is Judge Jesus. So get ready to face him. So what does he say about life? A couple of things. Number one, we are all spiritually dead until we trust Jesus. Did you know that we were dead? Spiritually dead, all of us, before we put our faith and trust in Jesus. We learn that from what the Bible says in Ephesians 2:4-5. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in trespasses. You see, he made us alive because we were dead in our sins. Now, here's one of the reasons we have a hard time kind of grabbing hold of this. In English, we only have the words life and death. And we have to use adjectives to decide. All right, spiritual death, physical death. Life, physical life, spiritual life. But in the Greek language in which the New Testament was written, they have different words for those. For instance, for life, they have a word bios. We get a word biology from that. That means physical life. Here, Jesus never uses that word. He's always talking about spiritual life, spiritual life. They have another word for physically dead. It's the word nekros. And then when it comes to death, they have a word that means spiritually dead, thanatos. And then And then the word nekros is dead as well. Life is bios. Spiritual life is zoe, a quality of life. Thanatos is spiritual death. Nekros is physical death. That's when we have to make all of these distinctions. Now, here's the truth. Everybody who doesn't know Jesus Christ is dead. Not physically dead, but spiritually dead. You know, and so every day we live among a bunch of dead people. It's kind of like The Walking Dead. Have you seen that television show? The only thing is, we're not talking about zombies kind of stumbling around. We're talking about people who look normal. They talk normal. They act normal. But they are spiritually dead. Because when you come to faith in Christ, that's when he gives you life. Let me try to illustrate this. I think at Christmas, most of us still put up Christmas trees, right? So how many of you in the room or any room that we're talking to How many of you use an artificial tree? Will you hold up your hand? Artificial tree. Okay, you can put it down. How many of you use a live tree? Hold up your hand. All right, that's a few. Well, I want to specify, unless your Christmas tree is planted in the ground with roots down into the soil, you do not have a live Christmas tree. You have a Christmas tree that was live, but now it is dead because it's been cut off from the source of life. So don't call it a live Christmas tree. It's dead. But you know what you do with that dead tree? You dress it up with ornaments and lights, and you make it look better than it ever did. We can use that analogy for people who don't know the Lord. They've been cut off from the source of life, and they may adorn their lives with a lot of things that make them look bad, make them look better than they ever did before. But unless you know Jesus, you are spiritually dead. Here's the second thing Jesus said about life and death. Number two, we receive eternal life the moment we trust Jesus. In 1 John 5:13, I have written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may, K-N-O-W, that you can know without a shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life. Now, we get confused often when we read about eternal life in the Bible, because the good old King James Bible that I grew up on, it often says everlasting life, and so it gives you the idea that it is a quantity of life, a length of life. But no, this word zoe, eternal life, means a quality of life. It's a kind of life that you live. Most of you know that one of my mentors is Ray Steadman from San Francisco. He's with the Lord now. And here's what Ray Steadman says about this eternal life. It is true that it goes on forever, but primarily the Bible is talking about the richness, the fullness, the beauty of life. It is a quality of life that is enduring, true, but is also enriching. It cannot be diminished by circumstances are ended by death. It is a quality of life that is given to us now. See, a lot of people think when they die, that's when eternal life begins. No, no, no. When you put your faith in Jesus and you come to know Him, you start enjoying eternal life right now. And then when you die, it just continues on. Now, if you want a simple definition of eternal life, it has very little to do with the length of life, but it has to do with the quality of a relationship. What is eternal life? If you were ever in a seminary or in a Bible college and the question on the test said, what is eternal life, what would you write? Well, Jesus gives us the correct answer in John 17:3. He says, this is eternal life. And then he doesn't say living forever. This is eternal life. He says that they may know you, talking about God, and they might know the one that you sent, Jesus Christ. Now, that's eternal life. It is knowing Jesus. Now, do you know Jesus? I know you know about Him, but do you know Him? Let me illustrate that. How many of you ever heard of Nolan Ryan, the Hall of Fame baseball pitcher? Yeah, everybody. Great. Nolan Ryan. How many of you know Nolan Ryan? Yeah, several of you do. I do too. I watched him on television for many, many years. And then a few years ago, he came over here to Crosswalk to speak at some banquet. And my wife and I were seated at his table and we talked to him. We got to know him. He's a really cool guy. He's a super guy. You know, Nolan Ryan holds two pitching records that will never, ever be broken in the American League, major leagues ever again. He has more strikeouts and he has more walks than any pitcher ever has or ever will have. I know him. And what's the difference? I heard about him all these years, and then I had a chance to meet him, and now I know him. Absolutely, the same is true with Jesus Christ. You know, for many years, I heard about Jesus. I learned about Jesus in Sunday school. But there was a time in my life when I had a saving experience, when I placed my faith in Jesus, that I came to know him. You say, what do you mean you know him? Well, he's real. He's real to me. He's just as real as any of you. I talked to him this morning. He's with me. I have a sense of his presence with me. He's that real. And you see, Jesus says salvation is like this. He says it's like you've passed from life, from death to life. So let me illustrate that with a line right here on this stage, a line right here. And let's imagine everybody on this side of this line are spiritually dead. They are lost without Christ. And everybody over here on this line, they know the Lord. They're believers. They have Zoe, spiritual life. There's a point in your life. Listen, you grow up to it. Some people are far from God. But maybe there was a time in your life that you were getting close to God and you were being drawn by the Holy Spirit. There was a point at which you passed from death to life. And that's how you know that you have eternal life. Now, from here, you're supposed to grow and become a stronger Christian. But there is a point, Jesus said, that you pass from death to life. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. It's like a birth. And if you look at your birth certificate, you know, it doesn't say this person was born October. And it doesn't just say October 13. It says October 13 at 4:10 a.m. I mean, there was a specific time that according to medical records, you were in your mother's womb and then you were in this world. You passed from the womb to the world. Same is true of salvation. There's a point at which you place your faith in Jesus and you come to know him and you pass from death unto life. Now, he's been talking about Zoe, but in this passage, Jesus also talks about nekros, physically dead, and then he makes this amazing claim. He says, you know what? One day, everybody in the graves, those physically dead, are going to hear my voice. And you know what they're going to do? Pew! They're going to come up out of the graves. And they're going to be resurrected. Some are going to be resurrected to life because they did the good thing of placing their faith in me. Some will be resurrected because of the wicked choice they made. They rejected my offer of eternal life. They'll be resurrected to condemnation. So now he's talking about judgment. So we've talked about life. Let's talk about what Jesus had to say about judgment. Here it is. Number two, point number two. Jesus is the judge whose verdict is final. You know, throughout the Bible, there are many, many warnings to get ready for a final judgment. For instance, when Paul was in Athens, Greece, speaking to the philosophers, here's what he said. Therefore, having overlooked the future, the times of ignorance, God now commands all people everywhere to repent because he has set a day, a judgment day, when he is going to judge, there's our word, the world in righteousness by the man he has appointed. Now, who's that man? Keep reading. He has provided proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. So it's Jesus. Jesus is the judge. And as I said, Judge Jesus is a perfect judge. And there will be no appeals. His verdict will be final. You know, it's good to know the judge. I kind of hesitate to tell this story because you might think less of me. That's okay. When I was in college, I would drive from L.A. to Birmingham, where I went to school at Samford University, L.A. meaning Lower Alabama, of course. And it was about a five-hour drive. And I would drive back on the weekends, and sometimes there was a girl that I went to high school with, Donna Bush, who also attended Samford. So she would often ride back with me to see her parents on the weekend. Well, one Sunday afternoon, we're driving back north toward Birmingham, where we're just south of Montgomery, Alabama, on I-65, and we're driving along, and some Alabama rednecks pull up beside us in a pickup truck, and they look and see Donna, who's a cute girl. And so they started, you know, making fun of her, obscene gestures. And so then he pulled in front of me and slammed on his brakes. So I slammed on my brakes. And so I pulled out in the passing lane. I said, I'm going to leave this guy. And he sped up. When I sped up, I slowed down. He slowed down. And so finally I said, well, forget this. And I just floored it. I mean, we're just cruising. I had a Ford Fairlane souped up. And I mean, we were going so fast, we could hardly hear the Young Rascals on the 8-track tape player. But they were matching me, my speed. And we come up on an overpass, and there's an exit. And without any warning, the rednecks in the pickup truck just, phew, took the exit. And so I'm thinking, well, okay, everything's okay. And I left off the accelerator, and on the other side of the overpass, you guessed it, is a state trooper with a radar gun. He stopped me for doing 98 miles an hour, and I had slowed down by then. Hey, sir, wait a minute. We were being harassed by these guys in a pickup truck. Donna said, yes, we really were, sir. Do you think he believed us? No, he never saw him. He said, you know what? You're not only guilty of speeding, you're guilty of reckless driving. And if you want to appeal this to the judge, here's the judge and here's the court date that you can appear. I was just, you know, not happy about all that. The next weekend we were back in South Alabama. I told one of my buddies, high school buddies, whose dad happened to be the judge in Covington County. And he said, come talk to my dad about that. I did. I went over and talked to him. And this judge was a member of our church where I had already been licensed to the ministry because he knew me. And I told him what happened. He called Donna to confirm the story. And then he said, let me see the ticket. He took the ticket. He called a judge in Montgomery County. And this is pretty much what he said. He said, we got a fine preacher boy down here who was with his girlfriend, and a couple of juvenile delinquents up in your county ran him off the road and harassed him and just didn't get caught. I believe his story. And they talked for a while. All I know is that it went away. Now, I may be implicating these judges because that may be illegal, okay? But the good news is the timing of this story, I know they're both in heaven right now, okay? All I know is that when he hung up the phone, he said, son, don't you worry about anything. It won't go on your record. You don't have to appear in court. There's only a filing cost. And son, I'm going to even pay that for you. That was one day that I said, thank God I know the judge. And when it comes to standing before Jesus, trust me, it's very important for you to know the judge. Now, quickly, let me tell you, there's going to be two kinds of judgment. Christians will stand in one kind of judgment, and everybody else will stand in another kind of judgment. So what are these two judgments? First of all, there's the judgment of praise, where Jesus will say, well done, good and faithful servant. This is not going to be a judgment where you be called guilty or innocent. Everybody here has been redeemed. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 4, 1 Corinthians 5, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And that word judgment seat is bema. So that each may be repaid for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. It is the Lord who judges me. So don't judge anything prematurely before the Lord comes, who will both bring to light what is hidden in darkness and reveal the intentions of the hearts. Look at this next line. And then praise will come to each one from God. Did you know God, whom we praise at this judgment, is going to praise each person? This will be a judgment of rewards and rejoicing. There'll be no fear here. Listen, I want to say to every child of God, Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is not going to be a judgment where you'll say, I don't know, am I saved or lost? No, everybody here knows the Lord, and he'd be passing out rewards. You see, the key is, back in the ancient Greek Olympic Games, they had a raised platform called a bema, where they would hand out the prizes for those that competed. Listen to the quote from a New Testament scholar, Don Stewart. After the ancient Olympic contests were over, the successful competitors would assemble before the raised platform, bema, same word there for judgment seat of Christ, to receive their rewards or olive leaf crown, Stephanos. The bema was not a judicial bench where someone was condemned. It was a reward platform. The Christian life is a race, and after the race is over, for each believer, Jesus will gather every member before the bema for the purpose of examining each one and giving the proper reward to each. And you know, when you think about getting a crown, and the Bible, New Testament talks about five different crowns for Christians, there are probably more than that. When you think about getting a crown, you're probably thinking, well, you know, I don't think I deserve a crown. Well, it's not a royal crown. There is a good word in the New Testament for diadem, royal crown. Only Jesus is wearing that. What we'll be wearing is a Stephanos, an olive leaf crown. By the way, if your name is Steve or Stephen, your name comes from this olive leaf crown. And you know, in 2004, when the Olympics were in Athens, you know, our girls' women's soccer team won the gold medal. And here you see them receiving the gold medals and a Stephanos right there in the land of the Bible where Paul wrote this. They knew what a Stephanos was because they gave all of them garland crowns. Now you're saying, well, Pastor, you know, I don't know that I want to serve the Lord to receive rewards. No, no, no. We serve the Lord because we love the Lord. But you know, in Matthew 25, when the master says, well done, good and faithful servant, he says, enter into my joy. You see, it's going to give him joy to give you the crown. It's going to give him joy to give you the rewards. That's why we want to serve the Lord as faithfully as we can. So one day we will receive this crown. But don't get used to wearing it. because the Bible says in Revelation chapter 4, after he passes out these crowns, Revelation chapter 4 says we're all going to take our crowns and we're going to lay them at the feet of Jesus and we're going to say, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. So don't get used to wearing them. You're only going to wear them for a short time. So if you are a believer, you will stand before this bema to pass out the rewards and hear praise from God. Isn't that just mind-blowing that the one we praise will praise us? But that's not the only judgment. There'll be a judgment for the lost. Number two, the judgment of punishment. And what that will be heard there is, I never knew you, depart from me. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, what day? Judgment day, many, not a few, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name? Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. Now, and we're not going to read it on the screen or anything, but in Revelation 20, John says, I saw a great white throne, and all the dead stood before him. And the books were open. The book of life was open. And it says, and everybody whose name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's the final judgment against everyone who's lost. Who'll be there? Only the spiritual dead, only the thanatos. My friend, if you know Jesus, you will not even be present at this final judgment. You know, when Michelangelo was painting the Sistine Chapel, on one end of the altar wall of the Sistine Chapel, there's this beautiful mosaic, I mean this beautiful painting of the final judgment. And there's Jesus on the white, great white throne. And there all around him are those who are being judged for what they did. And this is a very important part of the future of what's going to happen, this great white throne judgment. But if you know the Lord, you won't be there. Who'll be there? Thanatos, spiritually dead, great and small. Now, some of the people there, I think they're going to expect to be there. I mean, people who said, I don't believe in God. I think the Bible is garbage. They ridiculed Jesus Christ. They lived a life of sin. They appear there, and it's probably like, all right, well, so I gambled and I lost, so here I am. I deserve judgment. But you notice Jesus said there are going to be some people there that expect to be in heaven, and they're not going to make it. Because, you see, they were religious people. They used religious language. They said, we said to you, Lord, Lord, we had the right religious language. They even performed religious acts. Hey, we even had an exorcism in your name. And come on now, doesn't that count for anything? And then Jesus said, this is what it boils down to. I never knew you. I don't know you. Eternal life, knowing God, knowing Jesus Christ. Sorry, I don't know you. My friend, it is possible to go through an entire life of doing religious things, speaking religious words, carrying out all of the religious activities, but sadly never come to a place where you know Jesus Christ. And so my challenge to you today is, it's very, very important that you know the judge. Do you know the judge? If you do, you won't be at that final great white throne judgment. You'll be at the judgment where praise is passed out. So, where are we at? What's the takeaway from this? A lot of you, most of you, absolutely most of you, you know the Lord. I know that. You should be wanting to be more faithful than ever before. Not to get more crowns, but to increase the joy of Jesus as he's passing out the rewards. Those of you who are here and you don't know the Lord, there is chance for you today to say, I want to place my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I don't want to be at that judgment, that final judgment, and whose name's not found in the book of life, cast in the lake of fire. I don't want to be there. I want to be at the judgment of passing out rewards. You can do that if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Father, thank you so much for making it absolutely crystal clear in your word about life and death and judgment and destiny, heaven and hell. And Lord, I just thank you for not making it complicated or convoluted, but so simple that even a child can understand it. And now, Lord, as your Holy Spirit moves throughout this room, I pray that you'll convict those who need to make a decision for you. In Jesus' name, amen.